The Canon Group Incorporated presents Inside the coach, a man with salt and pepper swept back hair, a moustache and weather-beaten features gazes out of a window. Charles Bronson. A Golan Globus production. A Michael Winner film. The bus rides towards the towering buildings of Manhattan. White titles. Death Wish 3. Co-starring Deborah Raffin. Beyond the Hudson River, the Manhattan skyline looms beneath a bright blue sky. Ed Lauter and Martin Balsam. The Trailways coach drives along Queensboro Bridge over the Hudson. The man inside, Paul Kersey, in his early 60s, continues gazing out of the window with icy blue eyes. The coach passes over Roosevelt Island and carries on towards the upper east side of Manhattan. Kersey looks out towards downtown Manhattan as the bus continues rolling along the 2-mile-long bridge. Music by Jimmy Page. The buildings of Manhattan are reflected in the window of the bus. Written by Michael Edmonds. Produced by Menahem Golan and Yoram Globus. Directed by Michael Winner. On a run-down street, four punks in black leather jackets dash towards a tenement building. One of them carries a looped motorbike chain as a weapon. Stopping outside the building, which has windows that have been bricked up, one of the punks, wearing a bandana and ripped jeans, gives orders to the others.
Go around back. Look up.
Two male punks dash round towards the back of the building. A female punk with red highlights waits out the front as a lookout. The leader runs up the front steps of the building. In a corridor, he thumps on an apartment door. There's an elderly man inside. As the elderly man picks up a metal pipe, a brick comes through the window.
You sons of bitches!
The man runs outside. The two punks round the back break a window and enter the apartment. Hearing them, the old man runs back inside. They slam the man down into an armchair.
Give me the money, homeboy. Give me the money now.
It's collection time, Charlie. Collection time.
One of the punks punches the old man and he collapses onto a lamp in the corner of the room. In a bus depot, Kersey gets off the coach carrying two cases. The punks beat up the old man and rip up his armchair. In the bus depot, Kersey makes a phone call. In the old man's apartment, the phone rings. One of the punks rips the old man's phone out of the wall. Kersey looks concerned. He puts the phone down and heads out of the depot towards a yellow cab. Back in the apartment...
Motherfucker! Look at you, you old piece of shit!
Stay away while we're killing this guy!
I pull now, and you listen to my car! We need a little time!
Hey, cabbie, $20, you get us out of here.
Thanks, Mac.
The cab driver accelerates onto the pavement and swerves round a traffic jam caused by an accident. He tears down a rain-soaked street. In the tenement building, neighbours of the old man freeze in fear and concern as noises of him being beaten spread through the building. An elderly woman speaks to her partner.
I'm gonna call the police.
Kersey looks out of the cab as it drives down dilapidated streets. Buildings stand broken and boarded up and kids loiter. The punks run out of the tenement building, laughing. They leg it past the cab as it parks up and Kersey gets out. Inside, Kersey walks down the dingy corridor, the walls of which are covered in scrawled graffiti. Kersey stops in the doorway of the old man's apartment. The door is open. Kersey steps through, his rugged face clouding over with concern.
Charlie?
Kersey draws a pistol from his belt and steps through into the lounge. Charlie is prone on the floor, his face covered in blood.
Hey, Charlie. Cheers, Charlie, what happened?
Pa, take care of my things, will you? Till I get back.
Police storm in.
Move in, your dead asshole!
He's dead. The son of a bitch killed him. Get him out of here.
Come on, let's go. Come on, let's go.
The officers cuff Kersey and strong-arm him out towards a squad car.
Get in there.
It's nighttime. In a station, three cops rough up Kersey in a chair.
Come on, you know you did it.
We know you did it. You know we know you did it.
No bruises, see?
Hey, you want a glass of water?
Huh?
You can't have it.
Not till you tell us what we want to know.
Chief.
Who's this dude?
Mr. Kimmel here doesn't want to talk.
The bald superior cop comes in.
Leave.
The other three cops leave.
Kimball, is it? Son of a bitch. I'll be a son of a bitch. It's not Kimball. I know you. Kersey. It's Paul Kersey. You see, I was with the New York PD the night they brought a vigilante in with a bullet in his leg. You're out like a light. It's been 10 years.
Mr. Vigilante. Last damn thing I need is a vigilante.
Dude, you're in big trouble. What were you doing up in that area? East New York and Belmont.
I was visiting a friend.
Well, maybe you did. Probably not.
I found him that way. And I'm no more Mr. Vigilante.
Well, what'd I do with you, dude?
I don't know, but I want a lawyer.
No, you don't.
A roach crawls along the floor. The cop stamps on it.
Roaches. I hate them. Maybe I should have you killed. Who's gonna complain?
You always violate people's constitutional rights.
This is my jail, Kersey. And I'm the law. That means I get to violate your constitutional rights.
The cop smacks Kersey, who tumbles. Kersey kicks him in the groin.
Son of a bitch! Cooler! Come on, tough guy!
Kersey's dragged out.
Watch him. And forget bail! And watch him! Make sure he doesn't get comfortable!
Hey, Chief, you all right?
Mugshots are taken of Kersey. In a side room, his belongings are put into a plastic bag. Kersey's led towards the holding cells. Three uniformed cops lead Kersey towards the jail cells. Behind the bars, hard-looking young thugs gaze at him menacingly. The cops lead Kersey towards a cell full of men and open the door. Kersey hovers at the doorway.
Get in there!
A drunk guy swings out with his fists.
Looking for trouble, man!
The drunk guy misses Kersey and hits a giant bald-headed guy who knocks him to the ground.
You fucker!
Kersey crosses the cell, poker-faced, and looks down at a metal latrine that's standing in the corner, bent out of shape. He glances across to a fat bald guy who's standing over the latrine.
I tore it out.
The guy goes to attack Kersey. Kersey knees him in the nuts and slams his head between two jail cell bars.
Sit there between the two bars.
That's that motherfucker that's not what he's got, goddammit!
The other prisoners laugh as the fat guy's head bleeds.
Talk about getting shit-faced.
Amidst the commotion, Kersey looks across to a thin, pale guy who looks drugged up. Kersey's face creases with mild disgust. In his office, the bold chief, Shriker, pours himself a whiskey and looks up at a screen showing CCTV footage of Kersey in the jail cell. Shriker smirks to himself and downs the whiskey. Daytime, outside the jail cells, two cops bring refreshments to the officer on guard duty.
Hey, Beetle. Copy.
In the corner of the cell, Kersey sits with his head in his hands. The pale man in the cell, Fraker, beckons a tough-looking bold guy over and points at Kersey.
I want to move on that one in the corner.
The tough bold guy strides over to Kersey with another thug, and they yank Kersey up by the arms. Kersey trips the thug and elbows the bold guy in the jaw. The bold guy trips up Kersey from the floor, and Fraker kicks Kersey in the ribs. They hold Kersey down while Fraker punches him in the chest.
Hey man, I always win.
Kersey staggers up and decks Fraker with a right hook. As Kersey is held back again, police officers rush in and pull Fraker out of the cell. Fraker's led over to the next cell and shoved in.
Get in there!
Fraker, you're being released. 5 minutes.
See, I got a lawyer. But I gotta tell you, if they hadn't broken us up, I would have killed you. Next time, you won't even see me coming.
Fraker, who's about 30 and lean with freckles on his face, is released. He stops by Kersey's cell.
Tell you what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna kill a little old lady, just for you. Catch it on the 6 o'clock news.
You got some free time on your hands. Come on up to Sutter and Belmont. That's my turn. So long, asshole.
Fraker sits in an office with his lawyer.
You're out. But it's going to take them a couple of hours to put the papers through.
2 more hours in this fucking pit.
Fraker notices a CCTV camera.
Sure. Whatever you say.
At the entrance of the station, a blonde woman in glasses chases Shriker as he comes in.
Shriker! Inspector Shriker, what are you doing with this prisoner, Kimball?
Keeping him in jail.
Well, there's nothing been said here. What's the bail?
Bail? There is no bail.
What are the charges?
There are no charges.
Are you out of your mind? You're violating all his rights. What the hell do you think you're doing? He'll sue. He's got a case, you know.
Not likely.
Who is Kimball? You're going to have to let him out.
Stay out of this one, Miss Davis. 3 murders, 4 rapes, 8 muggings, 9 acts of random violence. Some of the most orderly drug traffic in the city. More robberies than I care to mention. Broken storefront windows, fire bombings. All this within a 6 square block area of Sutter and Belmont. I could qualify that as a riot. This isn't a neighborhood. It's a war. What are we doing about that, Captain Stearns?
Well, we know it's gang-related. We put more uniformed officers out. We put more cars on patrol. We increased our real effort 15% in the last month.
And tell us the results.
Reported crime is up 11%.
Shriker stands in the doorway of Kersey's cell.
Let you and I have a talk.
Shriker leads Kersey down a corridor.
Leave with me.
They step into Shriker's office.
So how you feeling, Kersey? Smoke? Where have you been recently, Kersey?
In the country. Have an arrest.
You see, Kersey, I admire you. I'm a real fan. Even kept a folder on you. Truth is, I hate creeps too. But I can't do much about it. I'm a cop. But you, you shoot him, right? I have a theory. If I'm right, you turned pro after L.A. 6 creeps shot in 36 hours. Then 4 gang members in Kansas City. 2 mugger rapists in Chicago.
Like I said, I'm through with all that.
Really?
Then why are you here?
Well, it's a great city. I missed it.
All right. You want something in this burg? Have it. It's on me. You went out of here, you got it. I'll minimize the vigilante stuff with the press. Tell them it's creeps killing creeps. Nobody cares anyway. It'll be just like before, Mr. Vigilante. With one important difference. You're gonna work for me. Do your thing, but you report to me. You tell me what's going on. You tell me everything you're even thinking of doing. Let us get some busts. It's that, or I'll keep you here till the hell freezes over. We understand each other? You in? One other thing. Of course, me. And I'll bury you so deep they'll never find the bones.
You're letting me loose?
I'm letting you loose.
Kersey collects his plastic bag of belongings.
What about the gun?
The gun? I didn't see any report of a gun, did you? If there was a gun, I'd have to charge you with possessing a firearm. They're illegal in this city.
Kersey takes the gun from Schreiker and tucks it into the back of his trousers. Another cop with a moustache comes in as Schreiker goes.
Davis, the public defender, is arranging your release. It's going to take a while. You sit out there and wait.
Schreiker approaches Kersey in the corridor.
Kimball. Watch it. There's a new breed on the streets.
It's nighttime. Fraker, who has a shaved strip running through the center of his blonde hair, enters a ghetto building and talks to a man standing guard on a stairwell.
Quiet now. I'm not here.
Upstairs, a gang of thugs look at stolen items on a bare bed.
It's a nice haul, Chaco.
Very good,
Chaco.
Hector, are you allowed
to? I'll tell you what to do and when to do it. Understand?
Fraker strides in.
Didn't think we'd see you out so soon.
Fraker beckons brown-haired Hector over.
Hey, man, it's good to see you. I've just been taking care of a little business, you know?
I can see that.
You said I should.
Did I?
Fraker pulls a flick knife.
This is a sticker, Hector. And you're the sticky.
No!
He stabs Hector in the throat. Hector drops.
Well, aren't you going to welcome me back?
In the station, Davis approaches Kersey.
Mr. Kimball. Catherine Davis, Public Defender's Office. You're being released now. I'm sorry it took so long.
Thanks, Miss Davis.
You're just going to walk away?
Yep.
I don't understand. You have cause to press charges. Sue.
Miss Davis, it's all right.
You don't want to do anything?
I told you no.
Well, I'm sorry. I don't understand.
Goodbye, Miss Davis.
Well, here's my number in case you should change your mind.
Thanks, Miss Davis.
Is there someplace I can get a hold of you? I need something, Mr. Kimball, for the release form.
Kersey strolls off. He wanders down a rundown street past a group of people dancing by a ghetto blaster. With his hands in his jacket pockets and his collar turned up, Kersey crosses a street blank-faced as guys sitting in a doorway eye him up and down. One of the guys grabs a girl's handbag and runs off down the street. Kersey chases him. It's the same punk who led the attack on Charlie. Running fast but stiffly, Kersey chases the punk down into a car park. The punk disappears. Kersey sees a pipe on the ground and picks it up. On the street, one of the punks snorts some drugs and jumps onto the bonnet of a woman's car.
Yo, bitch, come here, I want to eat you. Guys. Come here. I'm going to make you all over.
Mommy.
Come here, mommy. I'm coming for you, bitch. Come here, I want to eat you.
Come on,
you.
Come on.
Come on, bitch. Come on. Come on. Come on, bitch. Stop the car. Come on.
The woman accelerates down into the car park, braking hard and sending the punk flying onto the ground.
Come on now, bitch, I'm gonna fucking kill you!
Kersey dashes over and swings the pipe down into the punk's ribs. The woman reverses out and the punk gets up and runs off. Kersey tosses the pipe away and goes. A guy in Charlie's old block shouts down to him from a window.
Hey! Be right down!
The man saunters out of the block. He's chubby and in his 60s. Wearing a maroon cardigan and a baseball cap, he meets Kersey on the step and fixes a stare on him.
Who are you?
I was Charlie's friend.
Me too. You must be Paul.
Yeah,
I'm Bennett. Charlie spoke about you all the time.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Bennett leads Kersey into his apartment. There's a broken mirror on the wall.
They broke that yesterday. Well, it's the neighborhood. And you missed the funeral. It's a nice funeral as far as funerals go. And that's Charlie and me in World War II. I knew Charlie, oh, 40 years. Charlie says that he met you during the Korean War.
Yeah. I was a conscientious objector. But he didn't agree with that, but we got along all right. As a matter of fact, we got to be very good friends. Kept in touch with one another over the years.
We lived a few blocks from here. When my wife died, I moved over here. And believe it or not, this is a pretty good neighborhood until it changed.
I got a letter from Charlie a few days ago. He was really scared.
They didn't like him, the bastards, so they killed him.
Who killed Charlie?
The creeps on the street. He wouldn't take any of their lip. He wouldn't pay them. He said he was going to do something about it.
Pay? Like in protection?
Protection, robbery, theft, your money or your life. They hit the old people up here in the projects. You know, what goes on out there is a disgrace.
Now, wait a minute. Who killed Charlie?
I'll show you. Those three. I saw them running away from the building when Charlie got killed.
Their faces are painted.
Well, they belong to the same gang. Well, we got hell here. They say it's their turf. See him?
Yeah. What about him?
Well, he runs the gang. He's the worst.
Fraker.
He's been away. I don't know where. Looks like he could just go up and smash him in the face, doesn't it? Well, can't be done.
What do you mean?
He's got guys watching him. I saw a guy try to reach him once. They chopped him to pieces before he got 6 feet.
Is it worth living here like this?
You mean move? Everybody who can has. Me, I got nowhere to go. I fix clocks, meters for the cab company. I got a little place down the street. That's what I do. I'm not going to get run out of here. Are you going to go back where you came from?
Bennett, when I got to Charlie's apartment, he was still alive.
Did he say anything?
Yeah, he said, take care of my things until I get back.
I've got the keys to his apartment. The rent is paid till the end of the month.
Bennett and Kersey head into Charlie's wood-paneled apartment and turn the lights on.
Well, they've cleaned up, they've dusted for prints, and already through with their investigation. Cops don't care. Well?
Like you said, the rent's paid till the end of the month.
Good night. See you in the morning. Lock your door.
Kersey stops by the wall where pictures hang next to an American flag. He looks at a photo of a much younger Charlie in a military jeep and another of Charlie smiling, holding a rifle and a bottle of wine during World War II. His eyes glance upwards to a board on which are pinned 5 military medals. Kersey goes into the hallway and grabs his case. He freezes when he hears a scream outside. Kersey opens the window and looks outside. There's a bar across the street and punks tussle outside it. He shuts the curtains. Morning. Bennett and Kersey look out of the same window. On the street, a punk pushes a woman over.
The Giggler. That's his name. He laughs when he runs. Nobody catches him.
Jesus, he really moves. Tell me about him.
Well, He killed a girl last month. Put a knife in her skull doing that.
How do you know it was him?
It was him.
A couple enter.
Bennett said we can come up and ask. Were you downstairs last night in the underground garage?
Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
For what?
My wife, Maria. She was in the car last night.
I see.
You helped her?
Yeah.
I'm Rodriguez. We live downstairs. You were a friend of Charlie's?
Yeah.
You're a man who doesn't run. Hey, if there's anything I can do to help, huh?
What about the cops? They do anything?
Yeah, they enforce the parking laws.
Later, Kersey's on the phone.
Yes, thank you. Well, my friend Wildy's coming. He'll help out.
Who's Wildy?
Oh, you'll see.
Where you going?
You just take it easy, Bennett. This is my problem.
Kersey paces down a rain-soaked street wearing a black Mac. He heads into a mailbox rental shop.
I'd like to rent a box for a month.
B-21.
Kersey takes a key and opens box B-21. Later, he's at a used car dealer's inspecting a white saloon car with a salesman.
Okay, this is ours.
How are you going to pay for it?
Cash.
Later, he parks the car up outside the block. Punks eye the vehicle up. Bennett greets Kersey.
What's that for? The new car?
That's bait. When I was coming through the lobby, I smelled something cooking. It smelled great.
It was probably coming from the Kaprov's apartment on the first floor.
Kaprov's?
Yeah. I'll introduce you. Come on.
Well, these are the Kaprovs. It's Eli, Erica. This is Mr. Kersey. He's now in apartment 2C. And he was admiring your dinner.
Stuffed cabbage.
Smells wonderful.
Would you like to join us?
Sure. Can I have a few minutes to clean up?
Oh, certainly.
Okay. Like that.
Nice man.
In Charlie's old apartment, Kersey neatens up his tie and heads to a chest of drawers. Opening the lowest drawer, he lifts a blanket and takes out a revolver. Later, he's in the Karpov's apartment eating dinner at a table.
My sister said, know him. I married him in 1931.
Come on, let's get the fucking car open!
Kersey gets up from the table.
Excuse me, please.
Outside in Kersey's new car, one of the punks takes the stereo out from under the dash. Kersey casually walks over to him. Kersey stops by the punk. Another punk is leaning over the engine.
Hey. What's the problem?
What?
With the car. What's the problem?
Just get out of my fucking face. Who are you?
We're stealing the fucking car. What's it to you?
It's my car.
Now you're going to die.
The punk at the engine pulls a switchblade. Kersey casually blows them away and heads back into the tenement block.
We heard shots. What happened?
I sent them a message.
They head back into the elderly Karpov's apartment. It's daytime. A gang of punks chase a patrolling police car, throwing missiles at it. They run back to where Fraker's gang have taken a punk hostage.
You're out of your area.
Yeah, this is our turf, man.
Heard him.
Fraker's gang, who have paint on their faces, lay into the punk on the ground. One of Fraker's gang takes the order and swings a heavy object over his head, hitting the punk. Fraker walks off and the gang run out from the patch of wasteland where the punk was just killed. In a police meeting room, Shriker's with some officers.
Gentlemen, the streets are full of degenerates, killing each other indiscriminately. Arrest them! Your guys aren't pussies, are they, Stearns?
Chief?
I want some arrests, felony arrests, and a couple of bodies on slabs in the morgue. They can be your guys' bodies or some of that trash up there. Get that?
On the streets, a muscly punk hassles Maria and Manny.
You looking at? Hey, limit $5, man. Hey, I said limit $5.
He pushes Manny over. Kersey runs over and decks the punk, who runs off with a friend. A kid behind a tree pumps his fist.
Yeah! Round, man!
You all right?
Yeah. Thanks, huh?
You all right?
Who is this man? We need him.
Emil? Mr. Kersey, our new neighbor in 2C.
I'm very pleased to meet you. Oh, this is my wife, Magda.
So nice to meet you.
That's him. The man in black.
He's on my turf. I'll take care of him.
Fraker stares across the street. In Charlie's apartment, Kersey does fast push-ups. He kneels to look out of the window, then turns when the phone rings. Kersey answers. It's Fraker on the line.
Yes?
You Charlie's friend? Guy in 2C?
Yes.
What are you doing in there?
I'm taking care of Charlie's things. That's what I'm doing here.
Charlie don't need no help. He's dead.
Just like you're gonna be.
I'm watching you.
Kersey hangs up and heads towards the bathroom. Stopping at the doorway, he notices footprints leading away from the smashed window into the apartment. Kersey smiles. Later, Kersey finishes banging dozens of nails into a board. The nails stick out the other side. Kersey lifts the board and carries it into the bathroom. He places it beneath the open window, with the nails sticking up. It's Shriker. Kersey wanders over.
Well, what do you think of the neighborhood?
Thought you said I was to be here on my own.
Yeah, right. I think I said that. Look, I'd like something. For the papers. You give me a bust. I'll send in a tactical squad. They'll grab a headline. What do you say?
Can't help you.
Nothing happened, huh?
I don't know anything.
Look, Kersey.
Oh, I do know one thing. Fraker is the chief creep around here. Why don't you bust him?
He's got a cleaner arrest record than you. Perfect citizen. When he does something, he does it privately.
Like I said, I can't help you.
Shriker frowns as Kersey strolls away with his hands in his black leather jacket pockets. Later, Kersey comes into the bathroom and smiles when he sees that the nail board has caught someone. There's blood all over a nail and smudges of blood on the lino flooring. In the gang's den, one of Fraker's punks, a dwarf, has a bandaged foot.
Shit, man, I'm hurt.
This shit, I can't get
son of a bitch.
What is this, man?
We gotta turn the screws on them motherfuckers.
Give me some money, woman.
What for?
Protection from creeps who live around here.
You're the creep.
Hey, you. Get out of my way. I've had enough of you creeps.
On the street, an old woman slaps a gang member in the face, watched by Kersey and Manny, who looks amazed. Later, a cab pulls up outside the tenement block, and Catherine Davis, the lawyer, gets out.
What are you doing up here?
Looking for you.
How did you find me up here?
I decided if I waited to hear from you, I never would. Oh, Shriker was no help. I read the arrest report and made a calculated guess. I was right. You live there, don't you?
Yeah, Miss Davis.
Davis.
I told you before, I'm not going to file any charges.
Would you like to have dinner?
What?
Well, I'm not usually this bold. Taking a taxi to some place I think someone might not be to ask them out, but why not? How many people do I meet in my job who I can ask out to dinner?
Look around. You shouldn't be up here. It's not safe.
Oh, nonsense. I'm a city girl. Come on, do me a favor. Say yes, so I can get out of here without being mugged.
Okay, all right. When?
Friday.
Friday? Friday's good for me.
My place. I live in a basement. It's a nice basement. What are you doing up here?
A friend of mine was killed, trying to find out what happened.
Why? There's nothing you can do.
Oh, I'll put it in a book I'm writing. Look, your meter's running. I'll see you Friday.
Friday. Thank you.
Catherine gets back into the cab. She smiles at Kersey as it drives off. The cab turns a corner and stops at some traffic lights. On the sidewalk nearby, Fraker looks into the cab. Chewing a toothpick, his eyes betray evil intent. The cab drives off again. Outside the Kaprovs' apartment, two police talk to grey-haired Eli, who's wearing a yarmulke and holding the door ajar.
Come on, mister. You were brandishing a gun.
What do you mean, brandishing? Some kids tried to come in my back window. I waved it at him. What should I have done?
The complaints were that you were brandishing a firearm, mister.
Complaints? Who?
That's none of your concern, sir. Can we have the gun? Possession is a felony in the city limits. If you surrender the weapon, we'll forget it happened. Otherwise, you go to jail.
Eli, give him the gun.
Erica, it's our protection.
Please.
Eli hands the gun over.
Thanks, mister.
It's nighttime. In the Kaprov's apartment, Eli and Erica watch helplessly as gang members loot their belongings.
Listen! We'll come in here anytime we like. You got that? Pop! Anytime!
Later, Bennett and Kersey are with the Kaprovs.
The first floor is the worst, but they come in wherever they want from the fire escapes. They're roof rats.
It's 90 degrees outside, and I've had my windows nailed shut.
I'll take care of it. But I'll need a few things first.
Later, Kersey sets up a homemade spring-loaded trap by the Kaprov's window. It's a triggered trap that causes a plank to smash any invader in the face if they try and break in. He loops some string around a latch, then turns back to the Kaprovs.
This is how it works. I put a nail in the window right here. Anybody opening the window raises the nail.
The Kaprovs giggle. Kersey sets the trap again. Bennett comes in.
What are you doing?
Thinning the herd.
In the gang's den, a punk does a line of coke.
Hey, I want to make a house call, man. I'm a little short on cash.
For 20 minutes, you play.
Then you all go out to work.
The gang pour out of the building. In the Kaprov's dining room...
Mr. Bennett, I know you like a house call.
Yes, I do.
Kersey and the others hurry into the room where the trap was set. It's been sprung. Kersey looks out of the window and pulls the plank back down, noticing two small bloody white objects stuck to the board. Eli comes over and looks at the board.
What are those? Teeth.
APB, theft of 121 Sutter. Suspect is described as Latino, about 5'6". Missing two front teeth.
Daytime. On the sidewalk, the gang member, Giggler, who helped kill Charlie and who earlier stole the woman's bag, notices another young woman across the street carrying a handbag. He sprints across and rips it out of her hand. Kersey and Manny see the bag snatch and sprint after Giggler down the street. Giggler's too fast for them. Taking athletic strides, he speeds away around a corner. Kersey and Manny come to a stop. Manny shrugs and shakes his head.
This Wildy friend of yours. Can you catch this guy?
Well, who's Wildy?
You'll see.
A post van parks up and takes a package into the deposit box shop. Later, the package is handed to Kersey, who looks at it almost affectionately. In Charlie's apartment, Kersey puts the package down and turns to his neighbours.
Wildy's here.
Kersey unwraps the package. Under the wrapping is a lacquered box. He opens it. Inside is a handgun with a long barrel, a 475 Wildey Magnum.
Fires a 475 Wildey Magnum.
Real stopping power.
Is that like a 44 Magnum?
No, a 44 Magnum is a pistol cartridge. But a 475 Wildey Magnum is a shorter version of the African big game cartridge. Makes a real mess.
He puts the silver gun back. It's nighttime. Some of Fraker's gang, including Giggler, wait by a wall as Pretty Maria, who has curly brown hair, comes out of a grocery store with a bag of shopping. As Maria gets to her car, the gang pounce.
Yeah!
They rip her blouse and bra off and maul her. An elderly couple run over to try and help her.
What are you looking at, huh? What are you, a couple of perverts? Come on, get the fuck out of here!
The gang carry Maria off and bundle her into a car. Above them, a CCTV camera scans the area. The car screams off. In the security room, a guard comes back in and sits in front of the screen showing the car park, which is now empty of people. The gang's car arrives outside a den in a side alley. Maria is pulled out of the car and carried into the den as the gang laugh and bounce around her, taunting her. Fraker throws her down onto a dirty mattress. Two gang members rip what's left of her blouse off. She struggles, then arches her head back and screams. Manny sobs.
Been raped.
Bennett, get a taxi.
I'm out of here.
Thanks. They say she'll be all right. Just has a broken arm. I'll take you to the hospital. Come on.
They make their way out to a cab.
It'll be all right, Manny. Baptist Medical Center.
The doctor's in here.
Mr. Rodriguez?
How's my wife? Can I see you?
Mrs. Rodriguez has expired.
Mustachioed Manny collapses onto a sofa and breaks down.
Jesus. Over the phone, they told me she had just a broken arm.
The arm was badly injured. There were broken blood vessels. Some clots came free and we think lodged in the heart. I'm sorry.
At the station, Manny, Kersey and an officer, Captain Stearns, watch CCTV footage of Maria being kidnapped. Manny sobs and bites his fingers as he watches. Stearns speaks.
It's no good. The light's no good. No ID you gentlemen make is going to stand up in a court.
At Charlie's apartment, Bennett sits with Kersey as he weighs out gunpowder on some scales, then fills up long, hollow bullet shells with it. Kersey takes a newly filled shell and puts it into a tool that attaches a tip to it, turning it into a large bullet.
You load the shells yourself?
Nothing's too good for our friends. The action of this weapon is adjustable, depending on the charge in the cartridge. Well, I think I'll go down the street and get myself some ice cream.
He picks up a camera case and stops by Bennett with a cheeky expression.
This is America, isn't it?
Outside, he crosses the nighttime street and swings the camera case ostentatiously as he goes. He walks past a few punks and heads towards a supermarket. Inside, he takes an ice lolly out of a freezer and throws it over to a kid who smiles. He takes another lolly over to the cashier.
How much do I owe you?
Kersey steps outside and takes a bite into his chocolate ice lolly. Looking over at the punks, he sees Giggler arrive. Giggler notices him with the camera.
Oh, you looking at the puppy with the ice cream?
Giggler starts giggling as Kersey casually slings the Nikon camera case over his shoulder and strolls off. Giggler sprints towards Kersey, grabs the camera and dashes off. Kersey takes his Wilder out and carefully takes aim, looking down the long barrel. A giant bloody hole appears in Giggler's back and he drops to the ground.
Oh my lord, it's the creep that stole my pot of a few weeks ago!
Alright, alright!
Residents cheer as gang members flee the streets.
They killed the Giggler, man.
They killed the Giggler!
They had no business doing that. None.
It's the new man. The one from the jail.
That wasn't smart. No, not too smart.
Come on, y'all. Let's move it back. Move it back. Make way.
Police arrive at the scene, including Schreiker.
I'm glad he's dead. He took my pot of 3 weeks ago. He should have been dead. I'm glad he's dead. But now these cops never get here on time.
Hi, Chief. Hello, Chief.
Schreiker crouches by Giggler's body.
Christ, there's not much left of this sucker, is there? So how are things around here?
Better. I feel more relaxed. It's gotten quiet around here. Our efforts must be having a positive effect on the community. We're getting fewer complaints.
I wouldn't let it go to your head, Patrolman Renzel.
Looked like a rifle bullet. Witnesses say the shot came from the corner of that block.
The guy was a good shot.
Better than anyone in our department.
Kersey arrives at Pretty Catherine's apartment.
Hello.
Hello.
The guy at the store said this wine is very good.
Great. I'll open it. I made chicken. I hope you like it. It's the only thing I know how to make.
Chicken's good. I like chicken.
Later, Catherine pours brandies.
I have one sister. She lives in Binghamton, New York. And I hate her. But I love sports, basketball and football on TV. What do you like?
I like opera.
Opera?
It's restful.
I don't know anything about you. Married? Children?
I was married, but my wife died.
I'm sorry.
Sorry, that was years ago. What about you?
Am I right? I guess that you're afraid to be close to someone again.
Oh, maybe. You like the kind of work you do?
Most of the time. No.
Sometimes I feel like I'm on the wrong side. Defending creeps.
Don't take that personally.
You're gentle. But I've seen a lot of gentle people get hurt.
Damn it, people have got to start to fight back and hard. The whole thing is just, it's out of balance.
Some people would say that was an extreme position.
I don't care. But you never get mad.
I'm sorry. Why am I angry at you?
Tell me. You don't really like opera, do you?
No.
Oh, it's late. I gotta go.
Oh, it's early.
Even an unemployed writer has to work. I really gotta go.
Well, see you again?
Yep.
They share a kiss.
Judy's gonna get high. Go ahead, speed.
A gang member snorts some.
Yeah, Cuban's gonna get high, high, high! No needles, man. If I want you to shoot it, I'll tell you. Just snort it. I don't want you flatten your ass. Cuba's gonna kill tonight.
The gang brandish guns. Outside the tenement block, Fraker stares up to Charlie's apartment window, where Kersey gazes back down at him with an inscrutable expression. Kersey slips away from the window. He takes his Wildey Magnum out from a cabinet beneath the TV and heads out into the streets. Fraker waits for him by a telegraph pole, then runs across the street. Kersey follows him with a smile. He chases Fraker into a side alley. A gang member looks down at Kersey from a fire balcony above. Someone pops out of a doorway and fires an Uzi at Kersey. He runs. Kersey dashes across into another alley. He sees Fraker firing the Uzi at him from across the street. Kersey dives to the ground, dropping his Wildey. He looks around for it, but runs off and leaves it behind as more bullets fly his way. Fraker gives orders to some of his goons.
Head them off. Get round back.
The punks run off in pursuit of Kersey. In the darkness, Kersey descends some steps down into a derelict basement building. He hides behind a corner wall as a flashlight appears. It's a punk who creeps towards him with a knife drawn. Another punk appears from a different direction. Kersey gets into position to wait for the first one. Kersey knocks the first punk out, but the second one stabs him in the back. Kersey elbows him in the jaw, knocking him out, and pulls the knife out. As he goes to inspect the wound, another punk runs at him. Kersey throws the knife at him. It misses. He pulls a cabinet down in front of him to act as a barricade and runs off. The punk gives chase. Kersey dashes into a wasteland area only to find himself surrounded by mean-looking punks brandishing pipes and chains. Fraker turns to one of the punks, a muscly guy in green.
He's all yours. Go get him.
Kersey climbs up a shed and carries on up a fire ladder at the side of the building. The punk chases him. They both race up the zigzagged fire steps towards the top of the building. Getting up to a skinny balcony, Kersey throws a plant pot down at the punk, which he dodges. Kersey climbs through a window and runs across the room of a guy who's reading in bed. He gets out to the corridor and bounds up a stairway. On the roof of the building, Kersey picks up an L-shaped pipe and lies in wait. The punk reaches the roof. As the punk walks close to Kersey, Kersey springs out of the darkness and slams the pipe into the guy's stomach and back. He grabs the guy and pushes him over the side of the building. The punk lands crumpled and twisted on a car. Later, Kersey finds his Wildey on a pile of debris. He picks it up. The next day, the police are by the fallen punk's body.
Police prior to control. Request ambulance to 763 Belmont. Be advised we have a dead body at the premises.
Send the meat wagon to 673 Belmont.
Kersey answers the door to Schreiker.
Let's talk.
Schreiker comes into the apartment.
Try and take it easier for a couple of days, will you?
He squashes a roach on the wall.
Coroner's shop is going out and hiring extra help. People are starting to get a line on you.
He isn't finished. It isn't finished. It's like killing roaches. You have to kill them all, otherwise what's the point?
In one of the apartments next door, Fraker's on the phone.
Hi. Is this Mr. Emil?
Yes, yes.
Hey, it's your wife.
I think she needs your help. She's sick or something.
Who is this? What do you mean?
Hey, you be nice now. I think you better be here.
Hello?
Who is this?
You threw one of my boys out of your store last week.
It's your wife.
She's dying.
Emil, an old guy with a beard, runs out of a shop and sees Fraker at the window of his apartment. He dashes back towards home. In the apartment, Emil's wife is in an armchair with her head lolled back and her throat cut. Fraker leaves. Later, Fraker rings Kersey.
Hello.
You see what you've done? You got me mad.
Like it.
It's me he wants, you know. How's Emil?
Forget Emil. Emil's done for. He'll never be the same again. 20 years. 20 years nobody ever did a thing like that to me. Break my windows. Well, I say, fuck him. I've had it. And Charlie said the same thing too, and he was right. Well, he was afraid he was going to use them. Well, he should have used them. Said he gave them to me to keep. Well, next time they come around, I've got something for them.
What?
I'll show you.
Bennett leads Kersey towards a wardrobe. Inside is an old machine gun.
That's a 30 caliber Browning machine gun. Charlie brought them home from the war, and they still work.
Jesus.
There's a belt of ammo at the bottom of the wardrobe.
This ammunition any good?
You're damn right. You shoot some nice big holes in the sons of bitches. Now, they call us the old people. We were running the world 20 years ago. What do you say?
Bennett, a lot of people could get hurt. It's me he wants. This is his turf. If I leave, he wins.
Well, you want that?
Maybe it'll save a lot of people from getting killed. Do me a favor, Bennett.
Name it.
Don't use those guns. Give me a day to get Fraker.
Whatever you say. I was just trying to help.
Kersey comes out of the building and gets into his white saloon. Fraker and one of his punks follow Kersey in a car as he pulls out. Later, Kersey arrives at Catherine's.
Hi. Well, you said it was important.
Thanks for coming. Come on in. I'm leaving the city.
What?
A couple of weeks with my sister in Binghamton. And I'll do whatever I have to not to be here. Oh, it's everything. This place, my job, the people I deal with. I just wanted to see you one more time.
I didn't think you wanted to leave the city.
He walks over to Catherine, who's in her early 30s, and kisses her. Later, Catherine's naked in bed. She smiles at Kersey, who's getting dressed.
Do you still think you don't want to get close to someone?
You know, my wife didn't just die, she was murdered. And I never caught the people that did it. My daughter. Anyway, something in me changed.
Does it have to be that way forever?
No.
Why don't you come with me? At least visit. You don't have to be here.
I could do that.
I bet you want to leave. All you need is an excuse.
I'll bet you're right. I'm hungry. How about you?
I'm starved. I know a good restaurant.
Is it open late?
They sure are.
Outside, in Fraker's car...
Here it is. They're gone.
Fraker watches Kersey and Catherine head towards the saloon. Fraker's driver follows Kersey down a street. Kersey parks up outside the postbox rental shop.
Be right back, I'm going to pick up my mail.
I'll be right here.
He gets out of the car and heads towards the shop. Catherine smiles at him as he goes inside. Fraker runs over and punches Catherine in the face through the open window.
Come on!
They take the key out of the car and release the brake. The car rolls off down the steep hill. Kirsty runs out of the shop and watches as the saloon ploughs into another passing vehicle at the junction at the bottom of the street. Both cars explode into balls of flames. Kirsty gets to the bottom of the hill and watches the cars burn. He turns away mournfully and walks off. Schreiker's in Catherine's apartment with Kirsty.
My people are looking for you up there. Where you shot the punk. I have a description. You were eating an ice cream. So you better take it easy for a few days. For your own damn good.
The places I'm supposed to be.
That's why you're not gonna be there.
Schreiker leaves and speaks to some officers outside.
When he comes out, take him in to protect the customer.
Kirsty leaves the apartment and two officers take him by the arms.
Come on, pal, you're coming with us.
Come on, mister, let's move it.
Come on, get in the car.
Bennett's car repairs garage explodes. Police hold Bennett back as fire engines arrive. Later.
Kirsty! Kirsty!
Bennett jogs back into his own apartment and a brick comes through the window.
I'll give you something to screech about, you sons of bitches!
He runs to his kitchen window. Outside, punks throw missiles up at him. Bennett runs to the wardrobe and grabs the Browning machine gun.
Damn you. Where is he? He's not where he should be.
Bennett takes the machine gun out onto a balcony and points it at the 24 or so punks below. The gun jams. The punks charge the building, running up the stairway towards the balcony. Bennett hits one in the face. A punk rips the Browning out of Bennett's hands and throws him down to some punks below. They throw the old man from the balcony. Manny arrives with another neighbour and they crouch by Bennett. In the station, Kirsty paces around a holding cell in Stern's office.
Hey, you want to tell Schreiker I'd like to talk to him?
Well, he don't want to talk to you. He told me so, personally.
There's a man in the hospital. He was beaten. Says he'll identify his assailants, but only if he talks to you. Bennett Cross. He was armed with a machine gun.
They head down a hospital corridor.
Thank you, nurse.
How is he?
Well, he's a tough bird. There are a couple bad fractures, but I think he's going to make it.
Is it all right if I go in and see him? Okay.
Kirsty enters Bennett's hospital room.
I screwed up. I'm sorry.
It's all right.
Listen, Kirsty. I only lost one gun for you there. The other one's still there, in the same place. Blow this gun away.
Dr. Davis, Schreiker downs a cup of water and turns round to head into Bennett's room. He strides through the doors. Kersey's gone.
He had to go someplace.
Schreiker frowns and looks out of the window.
Taxi!
A cab stops and Kersey gets in. Later, Kersey comes out of the postbox rental shop with two packages and makes a beeline back to the cab. Kersey arrives back at the tenement building. He gets out of the cab and pays the driver, then heads inside with the two boxes. A gang member watches him from across the street and heads off. Kersey opens the wardrobe and drapes a belt of bullets around his shoulders. He picks up the machine gun and carries it downstairs with the boxes to where Manny is waiting at the bottom.
Hey, you want to take this?
Hey, I saw you coming into the building.
It used to be Charlie's.
They head into Charlie's apartment and put the gun and boxes down. Kersey takes his Wildey Magnum out of the TV cabinet. He loads a full clip into it. At the gang's den...
He's back, man. He picked up some packages and he's back at the apartment.
Move. Yeah, Manny Fraker here. Listen, I need some more guys, as many as you can spare me. I need to put some more heat in my area. Yeah, thanks.
In the apartment, Kersey opens a box of rocket-propelled grenades. He unwraps a missile launcher.
What is it? It's a Lars missile launcher. Anti-tank, anti-personnel weapon. And these rounds are self-propelled, armor-piercing. The round arm's 3 feet out of the barrel. Won't do me much good, though, unless I can get them bunched.
All I got is a zip gun.
Kersey straps on a flak jacket.
Well, we should get a few of them.
On the street, punks jump up and down with excitement as a massive motorbike gang arrive. The gangs greet each other. Some of the bikers speed across the road, creating havoc. A kid tries to hide. Some of the bikers taunt people in the street. One kicks a woman on the ground. The punks and the bikers hurl missiles up at the tenement building. Kersey bursts out onto the balcony and mows two bikers down with the Browning. Manny smiles as another biker skids and crashes. The punks flee as the bullets spray. In the Kaprov's apartment, Eric is at the window.
Eli, it's Mr. Kersey. He just shot some of the creeps.
Different residents in the building grab their guns and head to the windows. A woman passes her partner a black handgun. In the street, Kersey steps out in front of six punks and blasts them away. He shoots three more armed punks, then points the Browning upwards and blows two punks off a wall from where they're firing down.
Who the hell's firing, man? You told someone to fire?
Bikers arrive and high-five Fraker. Another biker attacks someone in the face with a bike chain. As the man doubles over, a biker destroys a car's window with a baseball bat, and more bikers pile into the guy. They throw bricks through a terrified old lady's window. Bikers carrying grenades zoom off on their bikes together. The bikers ride past a hardware store and lob grenades through the windows. The whole building explodes. As a car drives towards Kersey with Punk shooting out of the windows, Kersey opens up with the Browning. Riddled with large bullet holes, the car careers into a parked vehicle, flips and explodes.
We're out of ammo!
A police chopper flies overhead.
Air Unit 6 to base. Be advised, around southern Belmont in a 15-block area. I've sighted several buildings burning. Be advised, we have shots fired in the street. Looks like we have a riot on our hands. We need every backup unit available in the area.
On a roof, bikers throw petrol bombs down at an empty car. It explodes. A guy hit by a petrol bomb burns on the sidewalk. The gang cheer. Bikers speed down a road and throw more petrol bombs at a wooden clapboard building and a car. Clutching his wildy and a revolver, Kersey charges down an alley towards two punks who fire at him. He returns fire and hops down some steps, taking cover behind a wall. Kersey reloads. He pops his head back up and fires the wildy. The bullets rip straight through a bin, killing the two punks. Kersey lifts his jumper. Beneath, the flak jacket has two bullets embedded in it. Two bikers spring out near a building and fire at him. Calmly, Kersey crouches, aims and blows them away. In the Kaprovs' apartment, Eli looks out of the window.
More money for it, said the mayor.
News is coming in of riots in East New York.
I can't see anything.
Belmont Avenue and
come here, dear.
Gang warfare.
You can watch it on television.
Police are converging there now. And our helicopter is overhead with Roy Baxter to bring you an on-the-spot report.
It's an explosion.
Hey, have you seen the man?
Shit, man. Yeah.
Throughout this vast area of derelict buildings and waste lots, I can see
on TV, man.
Scattered shots as groups swell and hide in alleys and damaged apartment buildings. There are great sheets of flames rising from burning buildings. The fire department is there, but the buildings are collapsing. I can see fires over 20, maybe 30 blocks. In some streets, police cars seem to be fighting a hail of bullets as they try to get into the area. There are gangs of motorcyclists down there and shuttering phone lines. And all backed by gunfire and flames and smoke. It's a hell of a mess here. We've had no official word from the police department yet, but we'll be back with news as soon as we can find out what's caused this.
A building collapses. On the street, police officers trade fire with bikers on the roof of a building. An officer reels back as he's hit. Another officer blows a biker through a window with a shotgun. Bikers drag a topless woman out of a house. As they carry her up a stairway, Kersey runs up the fire stairs of an opposite building. Getting to a balcony, Kersey shoots his magnum and a punk goes flying down the stairs. The topless woman flees into the building as Kersey mows down the punks on the stairwell. As a police car races down the street, Fraker sprays at it with an Uzi and it crashes into a burning car. Two police officers spring out and fire at Fraker and another two punks who are taking cover behind the semi-collapsed walls of a derelict house. Fraker hits an officer. The next officer reels back into the car as he's hit. Fraker smiles sadistically. The police car explodes. As more squad cars arrive, Bennett watches from a window and smiles. Residents fight back. As bikers speed down a road, two men lift a chain on either side of the street, which the bikers ride straight into. As the bikers skid over, residents fire on them with handguns. The residents steal the bikers' weapons and cheer. As one of the punks tries to break into an apartment block, an old guy swings the door open and smashes him in the face with a baseball bat. The punk tumbles down the stairs. Two more punks throw petrol bombs into the building. A woman and the guy with the bat run out on fire, screaming. Breaker fires down at them with his Uzi. A cop car chases some bikers down the street. They shoot one down. Another biker runs up the steps leading up to a building. He tries to get into a door at the top, but it's locked. The biker jammies it open with a crowbar. As he opens the door, one of Kersey's spring-loaded planks with a spike in it smashes the guy in the head. He falls backwards over a high wall. Kersey comes stalking down an alley clutching the Magnum. He takes cover by a wall and peers around. Behind him, one of Fraker's men appears in a window and smiles. He aims a rifle at Kersey. From an opposite window, Manny blows the punk away. Kersey hails Manny. Manny grits his jaw and shakes his shotgun out of the window. Two punks shoot down at Manny from the balcony of a red brick industrial building as Manny runs out of a doorway. He takes cover behind a metal barrel. Kersey dashes out from an alley and flattens himself against a wall. He looks up at the men on the balcony. Kersey points up and hits one with a magnum shot. He shoots the other guy on the balcony, who falls off it, then turns his long-barreled handgun on two punks shooting from the top of some fire stairs. He drops them both.
I'm out of shell. I'll go get some.
Manny runs off. Kersey reloads his Wildey. As he does so, another one of Fraker's goons, who was involved with the killing of Charlie, aims at Kersey with a shotgun from up on a roof.
I owed you that one, dude!
Shriker blows the goon away. Kersey dashes out into the street and blasts a punk. Shriker joins the shootout, shooting two punks off a roof. Taking cover behind a mailbox, Shriker and Kersey repeat fire at punks across the street who fall like pins. One punk gets it in the face and drops. As Kersey and Shriker stroll down a street, one punk takes aim at Shriker. Kersey slots him. Kersey chases some punks who have kidnapped a woman. Shriker shoots a guy off his motorbike. Punks throw petrol bombs down at Shriker. They miss and the bold cop shoots them off the roof. Kersey shoots a punk as he climbs out of a house's upper story window. He falls into a tree. As a punk breaks into a house, a young woman blows him through the window with a shotgun. In the street, Kersey picks villains off with his Wildey. As a guy tries to get into a house through an upper story window, a woman pushes him back with a broom and he falls down into the street. Kersey runs out of ammo for his Wildey. He checks his pockets and dashes off down the street. As he runs away, Fraker sees him and smiles. Kersey runs up the entrance steps to the tenement building. Fraker and some of his gang give chase. Behind them, Schreiker dashes down the street holding his handgun. Inside the apartment, Kersey empties out spent bullet cases from his revolver as Fraker climbs through the window behind him. As Kersey reloads the gun, tall Fraker creeps into the room and raises his pistol. As he takes aim at Kersey, who still hasn't seen him, Schreiker dashes in and shoots Fraker in the shoulder. Fraker returns fire and shoots Schreiker in the shoulder. Kersey spins round and shoots Fraker.
Well, now I owe you. How bad is it?
Just a nick. I'll call an ambulance.
On the floor, Fraker's eyes open. He goes for his gun and springs up. As Kersey holds the receiver to his ear, Fraker points his gun at him. Fraker pats a flakjack beneath his clothes.
Bulletproof asshole. Just like yours. Stay just like that. You can't have both of us. Bet me.
Kersey fires a rocket. And blows Fraker and the whole front wall out of the building. Residents and terrified punks look up at the huge hole in the wall. Fraker's charred body burns on the ground. A punk looks at a resident and raises his bike chain. A female punk stops him, and they all turn and leave the streets, jeered by the residents. Squad cars arrive.
Better get going.
Kersey turns to get his guns.
I'll buy you a few minutes. Get out of here. I'll be after you.
Kersey stares at Schreiker kindly. Moments later, he's out on the street with his two cases. He strolls off calmly. ITFC audio description.